Blessed is the womb that carried you and the breasts of which you nursed. Jesus replied, rather blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. For the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary, this morning we don't have as much time as we had maybe last night. And so I'm going to cut a few things out that we spoke about last night, but the point is to entrust ourselves to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. She desires that of us, and she is our refuge in the midst of this veil of tears, of this valley of tears in which we are. When this dogma, the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary, was proclaimed in 1950, he was saying, reminding the church of something that we have always held since the earliest times, that Mary, body and soul, united to God, because she suffered not the stain of sin in any way. She was granted that grace of being caught up, where she didn't have to deal with the corruption of the body. Think of all the saints that we know who are incorrupt, especially our own Lord's Sleeping Beauty, the Blessed Bernadette, who was visited by the Virgin Mary in Lourdes, where you can go there even to this day. I've seen her there. She died 150 years ago, and yet she looks like she's just there sleeping in beauty. So too, even more, the Blessed Virgin Mary, who has not even had the stain of original sin. But Mary wasn't done with this world, just like our Lord Jesus wasn't done with this world when he was assumed, went up into heaven. Some of us have that idea that we think that I can't wait to get out of this world. I can't wait to leave everything, all the corruption behind. But if that's the way you think, I'll tell you the truth, you're not ready for heaven. Heaven is nothing like that. Just like Saint Therese of Lisieux, the great little flower who we have such great devotion to. She said, I can't wait to go to heaven because I have so little time here on earth. And I'm going to spend the whole of my heaven doing good here on earth. That's the way all the saints act on our behalf, and how much greater than the greatest of the saints, the Blessed Virgin Mary. And so she does. She has that responsibility given to her by God to continue to work out for our salvation, and that's what she's doing even now, assumed into heaven. And what do we pray in the Hail Mary? We pray, pray for us now, give us the graces today, but especially at the moment of our death. We ask for that intercession, and she gives it. But just as we spoke on Saturday, or rather on Sunday, the whole weekend, we know that heaven isn't the only one competing for our souls in the battle for salvation. Hell also does. How many people in this world strive to cooperate with the good work that Our Lady is trying to give us, the Immaculate Heart of Mary trying to be our refuge in this veil of tears? St. Anthony Marie Claret, he's a Spanish saint of the 1800s. He gives us the following reflection. He says, a multitude of souls fall into the depths of hell and God calls them to heaven. God gives them the opportunity to save their souls, but a multitude of souls still nevertheless fall into the depths of hell. And is part of the faith that all who die in mortal sin are condemned to hell forever and ever. You know, statistically, the statisticians tell us that there are 150,000 souls each and every day who pass from this world into eternity, every single day. And the question goes, how many of those are in mortal sin? How many of those die in such a way that they'll be condemned for the whole of their lives? For as the saying goes, as a person lived in this life, so shall their eternity be in the life which is to come. One of the most recent major apparitions of the Blessed Virgin Mary was what? 102 years ago. The same year as the founding, the building of this church in which we're in today. Rather, as it became a parish. Remember 1917? Fatima. Our Lady of Fatima. And this is a consoling thought, I think. But why did Our Lady of Fatima come? What did she do? She visited those three shepherd children. She came to them at that time and told them what? Her main message to them was, I want you children to know that I want to take you to heaven. And I want to take many other souls along with you. Isn't that a consoling heart? It's a consoling message. That Mary desires to bring souls. She came down from heaven as a queen of both heaven and earth. God's own dream girl came down to earth 102 years ago just so that three children would know that she wanted to bring them to heaven. That she wanted to bring many other souls to heaven as well. Pope Francis, 2 years ago, visited Fatima on the year of the 100th anniversary. And I want to read to you something of what he said. Our good Pope Francis, what he said there, Francis the Merciful, he said, these three little shepherds had seen the Mother of Heaven, but many others desired to have that same vision that they had, but they weren't granted that vision. But the Virgin Mother did not come here so that we could see her here in Fatima. No, we will have all of eternity to gaze upon her face, provided that we make it to heaven. For Our Lady foretold that and forewarned that there is a way of life that is godless, and indeed it profanes God and his creatures. Such a life frequently proposed and imposed risks leading us to hell. You see, these are the words of Pope Francis. In his own gentle, in his own merciful way, he gives us the same teachings. He's giving us sobering words, but he's reminding us, look, our salvation isn't automatic. Not everybody makes it. He's saying it's not automatic that just because you're regenerated in the waters of baptism, just because you come to daily mass, just because you engage in the prayer of the rosary, there's still a possibility that we don't make it if we don't persevere. And he wants to give us that movement to continue to persevere. What are some of the ways that Pope Francis is really talking about? Some of the easy ways, I'm not talking just about you, you're doing the right thing, right? You're here. You seek God. You want to love him. That's why you're here today, as many others are not. So what are some of the ways in which we can know ourselves to hold within our own hearts so that we can share with those who aren't here today, to bring them back into God's family so that they themselves may not be lost? The way that I'm thinking of most is, you know, there's a recent Pew study that went out that surveyed Catholics throughout the world, especially the United States. It found that 24% of Catholics in the United States attend Mass regularly. What does regular attendance at Mass mean? Every single Sunday. Only 24% come to Mass each and every Sunday. What is it like in Italy? In Italy, it's only 10%. I spent 4 years of my life there. That's true. In France, the church's eldest daughter, as we talk about, the statistic is 3%. This is a very abysmal thing. For holy days of obligation like today, it's even a lot worse. What does this all mean? It means that just here in the United States of America, 3 out of every 4 Catholics, those who proclaim to be Catholics, say that we knowingly and willingly engage in mortal sin on a regular basis, separating ourselves from God, preparing ourselves not for heaven, but for hell. These ordinary lives, they live as though God doesn't exist. As the Pope says, they live as they're godless. They have more important things to do than to attend the holy sacrifice of the Mass, which is the very place where the work of our redemption is represented for us, and we have the opportunity to participate in it. What a great joy that is. That's why the Pope says they live godless lives, and such a life frequently proposed and imposed risk leading to hell. What is another one of those dangerous mortal sins that the Pope is speaking of? You know, the internet is really good. It's great. It helps in so many ways. In fact, it allowed me to be able to prepare this homily and most of my homilies just by being able to look at various things instead of having a whole stack of books that are there. But unfortunately, that's not what the internet is mostly used for. The statistics show us that 1/3 of all the internet searches that happen throughout the entire world, 1/3 of them are spent seeking out filth, images of filth, videos full of filth, 1/3 of all the internet traffic throughout the world. What they tell us is that over the course of a year, just one of those filthy sites can have 36 billion hits in a year. 36 billion hits in a year, that's 5 times the world population. And all the world doesn't have internet access. Each one of those hits is what? Another mortal sin. Each one of those hits moves the eternal destination of a soul that is destined for heaven to be one that is destined toward hell. The Pope said, Our Lady foretold and warned us about a way of life that is godless and indeed profanes his God and his creatures. Isn't that what he's talking about, this very act that profanes God and his own creatures? Such a life, he says, is frequently proposed and imposed and risks leading to hell. Even St. Gregory the Great, one of the greatest popes of the church, spoke on the great feast day to a packed church, wall to wall it was, and this is what he said. He said, There are many who arrive at faith, but few are led into the heavenly kingdom. Behold, how many are gathered here today for this great feast day. We fill this church wall to wall, and yet who knows how few are they who shall be numbered in that chosen company of the elect. For it takes just one mortal sin to lose everything. How do we avoid these mortal sins? Here's the way. To avoid these mortal sins, all you got to do, if you want to persevere, is you got to be with Our Lady. You got to be with Our Lady. We need to make use of the gifts that Our Lady gives us for eternal salvation, that she offers us from heaven. She's spending her entire heaven desiring to pour graces into our lives. That's why she's called the mediatrix of all graces. The only way we can be sure of heaven is when we have her. When we don't have her, we cannot have that assurance of salvation. What did Our Lady do to the children of Fatima 102 years ago? She came to them, and this is what she said. She said, My little children, my immaculate heart will be a refuge. A way to lead you back to God. Go to the refuge. Do we seek that refuge? Do we even realize that that refuge is a place that's offered to us? Do we pray the rosary each and every day? Do I take the time to ask for help? Or do I try to bear the weight of the world on my own shoulders? Do I try to carry my own sinfulness, my stresses, my sufferings, my hardship, the family strife that is going and tearing my family apart? Do I think I have to do that all on my own? See, we risk our souls and the souls of those who we love when we do not seek refuge in the Immaculate Heart of Mary. She wants to be our refuge. That's what Our Lady wants for us. It's only in the Immaculate Heart of Mary, that sinless heart of our Blessed Mother, that's where we find ourselves protected from our sinful inclinations, against those corrupt movements, those pleasures of the world that seek our destruction and separation from that homeland that God wants to bring us to. The questions are three. Why is it that God gave us the Blessed Virgin Mary in the first place? Why does the Church propose, even today, on the assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary, for us to contemplate her today? Why did the Church, why rather, did Jesus Christ send his own mother to Fatima to visit those three shepherd children? Here are the reasons. Jesus sent his Blessed Mother to Fatima to tell those three children, I want to take your souls to heaven, and I want to take many, many others along with you. Isn't that a mother's heart? The Church proposes the assumption today to say to us, look, you can make it to heaven. It's totally possible for you to make it to heaven just like her who was assumed into heaven. You can do it. It's possible. Have hope. God sent the Blessed Virgin Mary into the world, as the sacred scripture said to us today in the gospel, saying, they said, Jesus said, you think that it's so great. You think that it's so amazing that I nursed at the breast of the Blessed Virgin Mary, that I was carried within her womb 9 months. But I tell you further, the most important thing about her isn't that she did that. Really, it's even more blessed that she heard the word of God that was spoken to her and that she put it into practice. Because that's exactly what Mary did, and that's what you and I are called to do in the same way. When we do what Mary did, when we obey God, when we do that, we make ourselves ready to go to heaven. Mary made it. You and I can make it too. So in this time that we have, let's entrust ourselves to the refuge of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, that same heart that was assumed into heaven, that same heart that reaches down from heaven to give us the graces we need for ourselves and for our families so that we can make it to heaven too. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.